Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. This is a program for empowerment. Today, from Ben-Gurion University in Israel, comes a study published in the Journal of Hepatology that shows that the Mediterranean diet helps reduce liver fat and minimizes obesity risk. When you consider how many people have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and how deadly that can be, well, almost 40% of the adult population, we're talking about tens of millions of people, it's important. All of the articles we share every day have been from peer-reviewed journals, major scientific institutions. They're just not shared, for whatever reason, in the mainstream media. We will hear. Then I'll be sharing a commentary from Chris Hedges. I'll be sharing a commentary from several other people, mainly some constitutional lawyers, on our rights and how we're not paying attention to them and what we don't pay attention to and someone else does. One day we wake up and those rights are no longer here, including John Whitehead's commentary on Come Home America, Stop Policing the World and Waging Endless Wars, and Chris Hedges' How Democracy Dies. We also have some very interesting audio clips. On Monday, we will go back to video. We played a clip from the comedian at the Golden Globes, and we didn't know that that you have to get their permission to do so. So, fine. So we'll be back playing all of our video clips so you can watch everything. But we're playing a clip today from Bruce Lipton following up on how little science, real science, honest science there is concerning vaccines. He's going to talk about immunology and vaccines. It's about 4 minutes long. Also, from Action News, they're investigating veterans denied benefits for what they are claiming are vaccine-related injuries. Now, this is something that I'm very familiar with because I did the first documentary in America on Gulf War veterans suffering from Gulf War syndrome, including those who didn't get to the Gulf Theater, meaning they were sick with Gulf War syndrome while they were still in the United States, all after getting vaccines, including an experimental anthrax vaccine, a smallpox vaccine, and others, that they were not told which vaccines they were getting. And then their records, especially 70,000 records that showed adverse effects, suddenly became, well, they disappeared. They became invisible. How's that happen? So we have a lot to share today, and your comments. We have a number that people can call in each day and leave their thoughts, especially those who download the show, which most people do, and listen in archive. Our voicemail line to ask questions or make comments is 862-800-6805, 862-800-6805. And I intentionally chose not to have a guest today just so we have more time for your talking back at the issues. So at any time during today's program, if you hear me sharing something that you believe you would like to share a comment on, please feel free to do so. All you have to do is go to that number I just gave, and you can get on board, and we'll be happy to hear what you have to say. And a lot of people have some very insightful comments, and we'd like to get as many people on the air as possible. Also, for our sister station, WBAI, for those who heard yesterday's program, that was our Progressive Commentary Hour. That is the most popular program of the week I do. It is more popular than the Sunday night show or the Monday at noon through Friday show. It's always a serious issue, generally one theme, couple guests, and sometimes a documentary. And this was about fish. When you walk into a restaurant or supermarket and you buy some fish, you're assuming that it's clean, healthier, wouldn't have gotten there. Our USDA would have stopped it. The FDA would have investigated. Not true. When you eat fish today, you're eating some of the most toxicant, loaded products you can put into your mouth. Tilapia, catfish, trout, salmon. Whoa. That is why I did the whole hour on that, so you could realize you can't take your health for granted. Now to the issues of health. In a study published in the Journal of Hepatology, Israeli researchers with a team from the United States and Germany found that a Mediterranean diet can really help your liver and reduce your body fat. The study randomly assigned a lot of obese participants to two groups. One group was given a low-carbohydrate Mediterranean diet, while the other was assigned a low-fat diet. Both groups were to go on this for 18 months, and they conducted full-body magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI, scans of the subjects, and this mapped their fat deposits before, during, and after the 18-month trial period so they could analyze the effects of the two different diets. And while both dietary groups had a reduction in hepatic fat, those who were assigned the low-carbohydrate Mediterranean diet recorded significantly greater decrease in their hepatic fat deposits. That's good. That also means that you're less likely to have heart disease or metabolic syndrome, including type 2 diabetes and coronary heart disease. So one more reason to go to a principally, the Mediterranean diet isn't 100% vegan, but for those of us who've been in the Mediterranean, to France, to Spain, to Portugal, to Italy, Greece, then you know that for the average person, meat is not a primary constituent of the diet. In the wealthier people, it is. Or celebratory days, they'll have meat, but they're by and large, they're complex carbohydrates, fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, and seeds, red wine, and fish. From the universities of Edinburgh and Dundee, which is in Scotland, comes a study about gut bacteria, and it could guard against Parkinson's. A common bacteria that boosts digestive health can slow, even reverse, the buildup of a protein associated with Parkinson's. Building upon previous research linking brain function to gut bacteria, the study in a Parkinson's model identified a probiotic, or what we call the good bacteria, which prevents the formation of toxic clumps that starve the brain of dopamine, a key chemical that coordinates movement. Now, these new findings could pave the way for future studies that gauge how supplements, such as probiotics, impact the condition. In the brain of a person with Parkinson's, alpha-synuclein protein misfolds and builds up, forming toxic clumps. These clumps are associated with the death of nerve cells responsible for producing dopamine. The loss of these cells causes the motor symptoms associated with Parkinson's, including tremors, slowness of movement. The researchers from the universities of Edinburgh and Dundee use roundworms altered to produce the human version of alpha-synuclein to form the clumps, but it's good research. Oh, and by the way, even though I'm on the road currently helping with advanced end-stage cancer, trying to turn that around, help the person, and getting ready for the next anti-aging study as the confirmatory study, you first have to do a preliminary study as a hypothesis, meaning you don't have hard evidence. You have subjective evidence, but science wants hard evidence. Well, that we've done. And today, the final analysis was done. See, it's not just having figures. Your blood pressure started this and ended at that. Your blood glucose started this and ended at that. That's all good. But are there anomalies? And we found, yes, there are. For example, one of the anomalies we found was for those individuals in the study who took the time to get away from everyone, as I had suggested every single day, and to sit alone, to reflect upon life issues, and I would actually give them an issue per day that, if they focused on it, would take them all day to unravel it. And it was to allow them to have a key into a door of their past to see how they ended up where they are today. In any case, there were those who took that seriously, and they did that. And then the meditation, the journaling, the reading, things that were deep, philosophical, and inspirational, their cortisol levels went down. epinephrine, catecholamines, all your stress hormones went really down. One person who had had a lifetime of depression and anxiety, they would fluctuate between the two, completely normal emotionally. First time in this person's life, they said they had gone for 2 days without being on an emotional roller coaster, generally down roller coaster rather than feeling good. And they continued up till this day, about 97 days into the post-survey part. And we'll be keeping up with everyone every 3 months. But others were there physically, but not mentally. They would do what they wanted to do, as it turns out, but not everything they were supposed to do. You didn't see them sitting quiet for hours at a time, reflecting in nature, on the phone, cell phones, talking, arguing. Well, their C-reactive protein, their homocysteine, increased. How's that possible when everyone else has decreased? Well, we've studied at least 1,000 studies in the scientific literature and have come to the conclusion that you don't escape stress just because you go to a different environment. Now, I've explained this at every single health support group, every counseling session, every retreat. It's when you're in a new place, do you take a new mindset? Meaning, do you keep looking through the rearview mirror without seeing ahead? Everything is based upon what has happened in your past and you're responding to it epigenetically. Or do you say, I'm here, I'm present, I'm mindful, I'm going to hear the birds, I'm going to look at the bees, I'm going to look at the butterflies, I'm going to be present for this conversation between the trees, because all trees communicate. Even the older trees nurture younger trees. There's a whole family dynamic with trees. So what happens if we sensitize ourselves to be in harmony with the energy? Even if we don't understand the communication, we feel the energy of nature. Just like you can feel the energy of waves, you feel the energy of a rainfall. You feel, when you're in a beautiful environment, you feel the energy of the environment. It's the energy. So now, going into this next phase, which is the reproducibility phase, meaning the gold standard of all science is, can you reproduce your results using the same protocols, same number of people, with someone else doing the observation and the directing of it? And that's, now that we've had outstanding success and proven things and found things that we didn't know, we've opened up a magnificent door. My hope is that within 3 months to 4 months from now, we'll have enough information to make some worldwide news. Already, scientists from all over the world are asking, can they observe what we're doing? And we said, yes, we're setting up special cameras. They can do that in real time. Ask questions. I'll be there to answer the questions. And it means that you no longer have just to get old and die. You no longer have to have dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, fibromyalgia. All of that can be completely eliminated. That's how powerful this is. Now you realize that everything that we're doing is going to be viewed as a threat by Big Pharma and the medical industrial complex. They make their money off disease, maintenance, drugs, procedures, hospitalizations, for-profit gouging. This is a completely different paradigm. So needless to say, we're watching everything very carefully and making sure everything is meticulous. In fact, they're sending in a special group of scientists, MD, PhDs, to be there every day to make sure that everything is monitored so they will be defending it. And these are people from the best institutions in the world, all over the world. So happy about that. But one, the statement I can share with you today that can allow everyone to benefit from it is that in this study I just mentioned, where gut bacteria can guard against Parkinson's disease, so too can positive thinking, so too can de-stressing, so too can keeping your cortisol level, so too can turn the inflammation off in the body, so too can a plant-based diet, so too can exercise, so too can yoga. So you see, these are all pieces of the puzzle, and we're finally putting them together into a tapestry that makes sense. It's not just one piece of a puzzle. It's all of it together. This is the first time this ever been done. Though, don't be surprised if you don't hear about some anti-aging places popping up with Wall Street investors throwing money at it because, well, we already know that people are trying to copy what we've done, and let them, you know, they're in it for the money, and that's who they are. But just remember, nobody ever went to Las Vegas to see an Elvis impersonator when they can see Elvis. They're not Elvis. They're the impersonators. They're clueless about how all this works. You could take all the supplements in the world and eat the same diet we did, and you won't get any of the results. That is what we're holding off discussing until the final peer review journal report and press conference comes with it. But that doesn't mean that there are not some people trying to profit from it. We know that for a fact. So be careful, people promising that they've got the Gary Null anti-aging protocol. They don't. They're just adaptive aggressors on their downside who would do anything to make another dollar. Woe to them. Southern Medical University published an article in Nutrition Reviews talking about plant pigment. And that pigment is quercetin, quercetin. And it can significantly reduce your blood pressure. Okay, that's very important. There are multiple studies that have assessed the impact of quercetin on blood pressure and glucose levels. And by the way, quercetin is a plant pigment. It's commonly found in onions, apples, green tea, red wine. And each study looks at glucose or total cholesterol and insulin. And 17 studies of the total show positive results and also can lower blood pressure. So have apples, apple skins. Have a sweet onion each day. But also you could take 1,000 milligrams, 2,000 milligrams of quercetin each day, and it could help reduce the blood pressure and lower your cardiovascular risk by up to 50% and your stress risk by 35 to 40%. That's important, quercetin. And from the latest study from Children's National Hospital, published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Pediatrics, when pregnant moms are stressed out, babies' brains suffer. Now go back to what I was sharing with someone, and I talked about it on the air the day after I counseled this person. They wanted to know what to do to get pregnant. And because the person and their partner were not having a lot of success. But when the person was in my office and speaking to me, that highly agitated, after the fifth time she reached for her cell phone, I said, if you answer the phone again, you're out of my office. I don't allow that. You know, you're here to see me, not to be distracted, which case in you're not going to get the full impact of what I have to share. And then she got all agitated about that. And I said, have you thought about the idea that, are you ready to be a parent? Are you willing to take a year or more, ideally, to detoxify your body? And at least that amount of time to detoxify the epigenetic conditioning. Do you really want a baby when every 3 seconds you're going to be on the telephone or stressed or angry or yelling at someone? Because all that's going to impact the developing fetus. All that will impact its behavior. You're going to lock into that baby what you yourself are experiencing. And she said, that's nonsense. You know, why isn't none of my other... I said, well, maybe you should speak with those people since we're not harmonizing between what I'm offering you and what you could choose if you want to. I get this all the time, by the way. People coming in, and they're not going to change anything. They just want some more information. Well, now this has been confirmed. 65% of moms of fetuses with heart conditions are stressed, but so are 27% of future moms with uncomplicated pregnancies because of stress. It doesn't matter what the stress. It doesn't matter how you legitimate the stress. If you're stressed, your baby's brain is going to potentially be extremely adversely affected, and it's going to suffer. That's one of the reasons that I said because you may want emotionally a baby doesn't mean that you are really in a place where the energy of your being can have a healthy baby without loading it in with all of the problems that you're facing. And finally, from Charisse University of Medical Sciences, probiotics and pomegranate juice improve symptoms of polycystic ovary syndrome. And by the way, polycystic ovary syndrome is a common hormonal disorder affecting about 18% of women of reproductive age. Generally, you end up with infrequent menstrual cycles, meaning less than 9 cycles per year, abnormally heavy bleeding, enlarged ovaries that fail to produce eggs, excess facial and body hair, and male pattern baldness. And pomegranates have a long history of use in traditional medical applications, many of which have been validated in modern times. Fresh pomegranate juice, and I just made pomegranates this morning, every morning when I'm out in the barn making all the different foods for the animals at the animal sanctuary, I take a fresh pomegranate, I grow pomegranates, and I peel it, and I don't shave the little berries off. I leave them because it's part of what we call an enrichment program. Sometimes I'll put berries and grapes and almonds in pockets, and then I tie the shirt up in knots. So they have to sit there and methodically untie all those knots. And then when they do, the mouth opens and they are laughing. That's the way they laugh. And it's part of that enrichment. Playing music of different types, that's enrichment. And of course, most importantly, you spend time with them. Playing with them, and they love to play. And they'll put a blanket over their head and put their hands up. And then you're supposed to touch their hands, and they grab your hand through the blanket. And they laugh. They get a big kick out of that. But anyhow, they're getting pomegranates because I know how powerful pomegranates are of keeping your arteries clean, of producing nitric oxide, enhancing your blood flow to your extremities, to your heart, to your arteries, healing your arteries. One of the best things in the world you could ever put in your body, pomegranates. And anyhow, when pomegranates are used, especially fresh pomegranates, they're a very powerful antioxidant, and they have blood sugar regulating properties, and they enhance fertility, and they provide relief to sufferers of hormonal diseases like prostate cancer and breast cancer. So they reduce cardiovascular risk factors. They improve testosterone levels and reduce insulin sensitivity. And so it's just one of the best things in the world that you can put into your body is pomegranates, pomegranate juice, pomegranate concentrate, fresh pomegranates. So probiotics and pomegranates together really improve the polycystic syndrome. Finally, one last study from Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, an article published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Cardiology. Women's blood vessels are faster at aging than men's. That's right. And it's your blood vessels, your small arteries, they age way too fast, and that leads you right into cardiovascular disease and stroke. And a little tiny piece, just a tiny little piece, barely perceptible, so small, can break off when you're angry or exerting, and then boom, goes into the heart and you have a heart attack. In fact, that actually happened recently. I go in twice a year to get my whole skin checked. I go in for blood chemistries, get everything checked, cardiovascular stress tests, etc. And my cardiologist, who's a trim guy, he prides himself in being an athlete and riding a bike. But he said, "Oh, Gary," he said, "I was dead. I was out riding with some friends and suddenly just boom, I went down. Everything was black. No tunnel with gold, nothing." And fortunately, one of my buddies riding with me is a cardiologist, and he said that my pulse was gone and I was turning blue. And fortunately, they got an ambulance quickly, and he did CPR and saved me. And he said it was a tiny little piece. And I said, "Well, there's your diet. And you keep telling me how healthy you are because you're fit." Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger was fit. Sylvester Stallone was fit. They both had heart disease and could have died because they smoked, they drank, they didn't have a healthy diet. They just, and this whole concept, because you're fit, you're healthy is a misnomer. It's not true. Will it change? I don't know. Very few people, especially professionals, they have a hard time changing anything. They are. The more educated a person is, my experience is, the least likely they are to change anything. So, by the way, for the people who asked questions recently about one of the people I helped with autism, reversed it, Jonathan Ortega, we flooded him with probiotics. Well, guess what? The Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology just published an article in the peer-reviewed journal Autism Research, quote, gut-brain connection in individuals with autism confirmed by scientific data. Hello. 20 years ahead of the crowd. So, on an upcoming webinar, I'm going to do everything for the brain, including autism. I'll do like 5 or 6 hour discussion with protocols of helping people with brain conditions. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to play Bruce Lipton, Professor Bruce Lipton. He was the father of epigeneticism, molecular biologist, and he's going to give us a short talk, 4 minutes, on immunology and vaccines. Please stay with us.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run a risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's all right. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight. I'll say goodnight. We can work it out.
The topic is on the nature of vaccinations and the role of our immune system in protecting us from environmental antigens and those kind of elements that try to undermine our lives. So this is a very significant discussion because I want to introduce a topic that is not really understood by the conventional public. And that is this. Vaccinations and controlling the immune system to create antibodies against those germs or parasites that try to attack us. How do we create vaccines? Our conventional understanding in the world is that we can create an immune response by taking foreign elements, bacteria, viruses, and parasites, or pieces of these elements, and putting them into a solution, injecting it under our skin, and then invoking the immune system to make a response against these invasive foreign materials or antigens. The most important issue we have to face is this very serious issue about vaccines, because we believe that the vaccines are the way to program the immune system to protect us from environmental parasites, bacteria, and viruses. And therefore, we have bought into the system of artificially putting these antigens under our skin to invoke an immune response. The question of whether this is beneficial or not is now coming to the front because we're finding a very, very epidemic increase in regard to allergic reactions or hypersensitivity. We're also finding that people are bringing in the concept that autism seems to be associated with the widespread use of vaccines. So there are very profound questions out there as to the safety of using vaccines to create immune responses in the world in which we live. Well, I'd like to address this issue from the point of view of immunology has made a misunderstanding about something very important called the tonsils. We have all heard of tonsils, and many of us have had our tonsils taken out. And I say, well, what are the tonsils? Well, if you look in a conventional book, a tonsil represents an immune mechanism that will protect us from invasive organisms. And the tonsils, there's actually 3 pairs or 6 tonsils making a ring around your throat. And the significance of the tonsils, they are the devices that apparently are protecting us, and I use that with quotes, from foreign things such as viruses or bacteria that enter through our mouth, our nose, our eyes, or our ears, because all of these structures have conduits that connect to the throat. So if an invasive organism enters into our body through any of the holes in our head, these organisms must pass through the ring of the tonsils. It was believed and still believed by many that these tonsils represent the first line of defense to protect us against these invasive organisms. it's time to reconsider this concept completely for this reason. When we say that tonsils are there for our defense, then you would think, well, tonsils are there to protect us from anything that gets on the inside. And the significance is this. Tonsils actually invite antigens into the body. And all of a sudden, what do you mean invite them? I thought they were supposed to protect me. Well, all the tonsils have little tiny slivers of connection to the surface so that as we eat something or something goes down our throat, a small sample of what we just swallowed goes down these little crevices and enter into the tonsils. The function of the tonsils is then to read the nature of these things that we brought into our mouth and then identify them by creating antibodies that will complement with these foreign things introduced into the body.
Okay, important. A different perspective, and that's from a professor who is a leading advocate of being educated before you vaccinate. And by the way, for those who've kept declaring, great, the New Jersey vaccine mandate bill is dead, no, it's not. They're trying to reprieve it. They're working behind the scenes to get the sponsorship they need, and they only needed one to pass it. So all you have is a short reprieve. There must be an effort now to organize and support with documentaries, the best documentaries. We have four that we'll donate. Vaccine Nation, Autism Made in USA, Silent Epidemic, and excuse me, the most recent one, which, by the way, has won the most awards, and it's only on the science, how there's no science there, deadly deception. Plus 50 articles we've written, all completely referenced, vetted for accuracy and scholarship. Plus there are hundreds of other articles, Barbara Lou Fisher's organization. There's a lot of people doing good work to challenge. And these are not people who were anti-vaccine. They were all pro-vaccine until they trusted and had injuries. And no one apologized, no one said they were wrong, and hence then they got that rude awakening when they were betrayed. So you gotta really increase your efforts now to get those articles, get those documentaries in the hands of every New Jersey legislator so they know the truth, or at least know a perspective other than the propaganda opinions they've been given. Now tomorrow we're gonna have one of the world's leading scientists on the program live at noon. And this person is going to be able to completely debunk the so-called science behind the Tamiflu vaccine from Hoffman and Roach. So we're going to provide some good information for you. Now, if anything you've heard up to this point you'd like to respond to, please do it. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. But I want to play one more. And this is a Action News investigation of veterans who are broke, sick, and the VA refuses to help them. The White House refuses, the Pentagon, and they've been doing this since 1991. And it's because of the vaccines they were given. Because of this, I'll be doing a new article on the vaccines. Here is this investigation. It's a short 4 minutes, but it's important you know how many people are suffering. This is not a small group. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of American veterans. And when I went into the woods that day at 10 o'clock in the morning with my camera crew, and it was a bad day, and I didn't think anyone was back there because there was no walking path. And about 100 feet in, here was a little pup tent, and that was the first guy I saw. Then about 20 feet beyond that was a whole circle of tents. And there were guys, no water, no cooking. They got one meal a day free at the daily bread that I support, by the way. And they had nothing. All of them said that they were sick, and the government, the VA, refused to help them. And that was 16,000 of them just in one area near Titusville, Florida. And yet no one had ever heard or seen any of them. Watch American Veterans Forgotten and Betrayed, and you'll see them. And I went for days, through a whole day with them through the night to see, you know, I'm a farmer. I'm a rancher. I've lived on ranches and farms my whole adult life. I know what it's like to be out in the woods or in the environment where there are creatures, bobcats, mountain lions, bears, poisonous snakes, alligators, phantom spiders, all kinds of predators out there can do you harm, and you have nothing except the clothes on your back and you're laying in a t-shirt under a tree. That was one of the guys I saw. He was 28 years old, didn't have a nickel to his name. Wow, this is what's happening. So let's hear this.
Newsroom with the results of this investigation, Paige.
Yeah, Tanika, any veteran will tell you, when you're out on a mission, you don't complain. Sean Kelly, a local Marine, didn't complain, and he is now living with constant pain. Pain the federal government refuses to acknowledge may have been caused by a vaccine meant to protect him from a biological attack. 2008. Sean Kelly deployed to Iraq. He was given a battery of vaccines, including ACAM 2000.
When I first started having any of these symptoms from the smallpox vaccine, they told me it was heartburn. And it wasn't one of those things where I was like, I don't want to go out on patrol because I have heartburn.
Kelly, a machine gun section leader for the 1st Battalion, 9th Marines, Charlie Company, men trained to be tough. Mark Bailey served at Kelly's side and says his symptoms also started on deployment.
And like a tightness or just kind of like a pain in my chest. And, you know, I just chalked it off to heartburn and took my Omeprazole and went on my way.
These records document Kelly's repeated complaints of chest tightening. He described it as heartburn. He didn't know it at the time that chest pain is a possible side effect to the smallpox vaccine. It wasn't until years later that Kelly says he made the connection.
It all clicked. I was like, something is wrong and something's been wrong this whole time. And my wife was telling me, you need to go to the hospital.
Diagnosed with pericarditis, inflammation of the heart, a documented side effect. Kelly couldn't work. He filed for VA benefits for a vaccine-related injury and was denied.
It can be quite difficult, especially when they don't have their medical records.
Dr. Bradley Bender is head of the North Florida South Georgia Veterans Health Systems.
How many cases of vaccine-related myo or pericarditis have you seen here in Gainesville?
To my knowledge, we've seen none.
That's just ridiculous.
Barbara Lowe Fisher is director of the National Vaccine Information Center. She believes the government is hiding behind the facts.
They do not want to acknowledge that when these vaccines are given, that there are far more people being hurt than they are willing to admit.
The warning label on ACAM 2000 lists myo and pericarditis as a possible side effect. The link was also documented in this government-funded study. Side effects would happen within weeks of getting the vaccine, but its lead author admitted to me myocarditis from any cause may not be diagnosed during the acute event and can be mistaken for heartburn or fatigue. Even more disturbing, when I asked the VA about how many veterans have received benefits from vaccine-related injuries, the agency admitted we have no tracking mechanism for injuries due to smallpox or any other vaccination. Today, this Marine believes his dedication to duty to work through the pain without complaint has sentenced him now to a life in pain, with no support from the country he served without question.
How does it make you feel to know in your heart that you've connected this to the vaccine, but the VA won't?
Oh, it's devastating. I can't believe this is actually happening. You know, I can't believe that I did the right thing, and at the end of the day, you know, I'm not in some way, shape, or form taken care of.
I took Kelly's story to Congressman Al Lawson. He tells me he'd like to collaborate with other lawmakers on a possible solution. There are programs for those injured by the smallpox vaccine, both civilian and military, but Kelly doesn't qualify because too much time has passed. More than 1.7 million military members were given the smallpox vaccine between 2002 and 2008. It's still being given to some special forces and troops stationed in South Korea. In the newsroom, Paige Kelly.
Okay, this is not uncommon. This is a cause for many vets, men and women both, to have mental problems and then be thrown in jail, to be arrested, to be isolated from society, frequently no longer accepted by their families. I've done over 1,000 interviews, and when I had the Tri-State Healing Center open for 15 years, I treated over 400 vets with Gulf War Syndrome, we filmed one of them completely reversing her. Well, I'd never seen anything. There was no medical definition for it. She was a very petite woman, about 5'3", and yet she had calves the size of basketballs. It was from the exposure of the vaccines. It took us about 16 months, but we were finally able to detox all of the chemicals out of her body, and then she became completely normal. But we don't have a place for people to go today to get that done, and we should. And your thoughts, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. I'd like to hear from you. If you have a thought, share it. I don't know how many of you watched the debate the other night. It was embarrassing. I didn't hear a single thing about our responsibility for supporting dictators around the world through the military-industrial complex, both Republicans and Democrats. I didn't hear a single criticism of all the Democrats supporting increasing the military-industrial complex's budget. I didn't hear anyone talking about taking the profit out of the system of healthcare we have today. Nothing. No. I didn't hear how we were going to clean up the environment, real specifics, as if these people lack all sense of scholarship. They're just there to give us the big ideas, but none of the details. And then the bureaucrats are supposed to fill in and do the work, and look how poorly they've done, like the Corps of Engineers, so many of the other governmental agencies. Not a word on what was important, except after the debate, Elizabeth Warren said, Bernie, you just, to something to the effect that you just called me a liar on national television. And could you imagine anything worse than the contemptible bias of CNN when they asked Bernie Sanders, did you ever say to Elizabeth Warren in a private meeting something to the effect that a woman couldn't become president? He said, no. He was telling the truth. And they immediately says, but when he said that to you, as if he didn't answer them. Wow. Well, Elizabeth Warren is one thing. She is a corporatist. She is a neoliberal. She is she's as pro-Israel as Donald Trump and as much against the Palestinian people and their rights. So just remember, don't go down the same steps you went down with Hillary Clinton. You want the person most qualified to help all people in America and to be a guiding force for positive healing around the world. She isn't that person. It was Leo Tolstoy who wrote that happy families are all alike, but every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. I noticed this recently at the anti-Asian study, where there was a group of people who were happy, and there was an effortless of how they went through their day, whether it was exercising or doing their juices or whatever they were doing. There was an ease at which they were living, and it was a whole group, the majority. But there were some individuals who were just unhappy, and they were all unhappy for their own individual reasons. Now, you can sit and talk about what is the reason you're unhappy, what is the reason you're not doing this protocol, what is the reason that you are angry, and they'll all give you a different reason, and they'll believe in it. Well, then why are you here? Because you can only heal, you can only de-age if you're happy. You can't be healthy if you're not happy. That's important to understand. We're not looking at that as a larger phenomena. There's no one route to the dissolution of the open society we live in. But the patterns are familiar. Whether in ancient Athens, the Roman Republic, or the collapse of the democracies in Italy and the Weimar Republic in Germany, wasn't 1932 that Hitler went after the unions in Germany and the communists at the same time? And that led to fascism. The ills that beset Germany and Italy in the late 1930s are sadly familiar to us. An ineffectual political system, check that. A retreat by huge sectors of the population into a world where facts and opinions are interchangeable. Well, check that on vaccines, check that on GMOs, check that on nuclear power, check on that on gas hydrofracking, check on that when it comes to urbanization of our neighborhoods and destruction of the working middle class. Yeah, check, 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 check. Check on banking, the bankers causing the problem and then being the only people who are given a safety net out of it. Mm-hmm. So the seizure of national economies we're seeing right now by international banks and global finance capital that has forced larger and larger segments of society into a subsistence existence, obligating the hope for the future. According to Chris Hedges, we suffer from an epidemic of nihilistic violence. I would not argue against that. One that has included mass shootings and domestic terrorism. There's a rapacious and out-of-control militarism, betraying citizens as in the 1930s, harboring in cahoot hatred for the ruling elite that is mired in corruption while it mouths empty platitudes. Boy, the liberals and the Republicans are nothing if not overloaded with their so-called democratic values, which are really corporatist values, capitalist values. There is a desperate yearning for a leader. But what if that leader is a cult leader, a demagogue leader? What if they're a functional illiterate leader? Yeah, we've had those. Or what if we have a leader that is charming and charismatic? We've had a couple of those. But what if the outcome is always the same? These are merely veneers, masks, a facade. And as a result, we the people are betrayed. And that in turn ushers in a return to the mythical past and lost glory. Everybody looks at the past as if somehow it was always better. In some respects, it could have been less stress, depending upon where you were in the world and what were the support systems you were living through. If there's one thing that I have noticed in my life of helping people and society is that it is connect yourself with support systems that harmonize in like manner. If you can do that, that's a very positive thing to be connected to. The business elites, do they really think about you and your needs? When you are a person in low income and you're redlined out of a mortgage because you're not the right color, ethnicity, or age, ageism is rampant. The largest study ever done on ageism showed that when millions of people were examined, over 8 million people, ageism affected over 67%. We see it all the time. And that's something we shouldn't see. And so here we are. We're looking at our life today, and I'm looking to see what does this compare to? And I say, my own personal and subjective opinion, that right now we are Italy in 1922 and Germany in 1932. We're at the beginning of the most basic fascism that we've ever seen. We are looking at the mortal danger to our democracy, our republic, from bankrupt liberalism, which abandoned working men and women, abandoned the poor, abandoned those who should not have gone to prison to begin with, abandoned those who are too poor to have an apartment but then are forced off the streets or forced out of their cars or their Winnebagos or their vans because the population doesn't want to see them there. And that's mainly the liberal community. I live, when I'm in New York City, on the Upper West Side. I have my entire adult life. It's very liberal. You have more educated people and successful people between 57th Street and Broadway and 125th Street and Broadway from the Hudson River to Central Park than any other place on the planet. And yet, go in the morning when I'm out running at 5 o'clock and watch all the silent lines of men, no women, men lined up with one water fountain to brush their teeth, wash their face, wash under their arms, no matter how cold it is, and then shuffle off to try to find some work that day. Because the local people jogging in their Nike shoes, oh, and by the way, we've done a lot of research on Nike and exploitation of indigenous people around the world, the pollution of their environment, the breaking of their unions, the harassment of their leaders, all so they can get the most profit out of the Nike shoes. When you exploit hundreds of thousands of people to become the most powerful sports franchise in world history, and therefore you can control athletes' futures, you can control the whole sports, what then should someone say to Kaepernick? If you took a knee because of the historical injustices and inequalities done true to the African-American people or people of color, and it's your way of saying, you know, this is my moment to stand in solidarity with him, fine. Then do you have the same compunction of intellectual and spiritual discipline to align yourself with all the people who are exploited and live in dire poverty so that Nike can make the money to give you its big multi-million dollar contract? Just a thought. As when we are going to be that firm, good, are we also that firm in how we make our money? So this is the world we live in today. We live in extremes of contradiction. But today we have more than the seeds of American fascism. We have full-blown fascism. Just look at the stupidity of our Congress. Look at the vulgarity of the bias in our media. Look at Wikipedia pretending to be something it cannot possibly be and never has been. But everyone winks and nods and says, yeah, it's an encyclopedia, you should use it. Look at Wall Street. Look at the military-industrial complex. Look at Big Pharma. Look at big energy cartels. Where is their democracy? Where is their justice? Where is their sense of the common? Where is their sense of decency? Where are there any humanistic principles emanating from any of those institutions? And yet those are the policymakers and opinion leaders. Those are the ones that hold us to some standard that they themselves have never met. Brad from Long Island, your turn. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, Gary. We've met. And someone in my family has passed on years ago, but he was a top scientist out of the Brooklyn Polytech High School. But he consulted to some of the biggest pharmaceutical companies there were and was with some of the biggest that there were. And you mentioned Hoffman LaRoche. So I'm going to just generally paraphrase what he said, almost word for word. He said, these big pharma firms have very strong interests, and they will do whatever it takes to protect those interests. Now, he didn't say power. He didn't discuss money. That's pretty much the statement. But if you look at that, you could fill in the blank some. Now, you mentioned that before in the light of vaccines with Hoffman LaRoche, and I do not think he was a vaccine person. I'm pretty sure he wasn't.
Brad, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts. I would agree with him. You did what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you were saying. Brad? Okay. Sorry, but you made some very good points there, Brad. They'll do anything. All of the different industries I just mentioned, they'll also do anything. And now with 5G, with the Internet of all things, with private spy companies, they can do anything and are. Bill from New Jersey, your turn, Bill.
Good morning, Gary. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Thank you. Listen to what you were saying earlier. You were talking about someone about tonsils and how they I had my tonsils taken out when I was a young kid. Back in those, I'm 75 now, so it was back in the late 40s or early 50s or something. Back in those days, I'm pretty sure it was just allergy to food and stuff, but I used to get sore throats and earaches until they took out my tonsils. Whether or not it worked, I don't know. I don't remember any immediate recovery. I don't remember much of anything. But I know today I'm very healthy. I don't have any problems at all with... I notice anytime there's any kind of a germ or bacteria, anything gets in my mouth, I raise it up right away and spit it out. You know what I'm saying? It comes out. It doesn't go down into my lungs or my throat. And
well,
I'm wondering.
Let's just stop there for a moment, Bill. Every time you breathe, you're breathing in germs and viruses. When you go into a public bathroom where there are no toilets, seats, or lids, such as in airports, at bus stations, etc., movie theaters, every time a toilet flushes, there are tens of thousands of bacteria and viruses that are in the air. So you're breathing it in. When you're on a subway, you're breathing it. When you're in a ball theater, a ballpark, you're breathing it. When you're in the opera, you're breathing it in. The point is not to isolate yourself and act like you're a boy in a bubble that has to live an environmentally sealed life. It's that through the natural evolution of playing in dirt, which we should, and most of us as kids did, at least people your age, my age, we were, baby boomers were allowed to go out and play. You know, those microorganisms we were picking up, all of us drinking out of the same water hose, those were all good for us. They built up natural immunity. So today, the reason that you're not suffering from, you know, some infection as a younger person who lives a more isolated and sterile life would be because your body's created so many natural antibodies. And that's what is good. The tonsils we needed, many of us, myself included, had them taken out. And then you're given, you know, a popsicle, you know, suck on to help the pain. But they were doing what they thought was the right thing. It simply wasn't the right thing. But thank you for calling in and sharing your thoughts with us. Bill. Bill and Brad, thank you today. And also, anyone wanting to be considered for, and it's a selective process, we have to make sure that you would be a good candidate. And now that we've gone through this whole anti-aging one time, now this is the verification part that starts in March 22nd and goes for 60 days. Luann Panessi is looking even closer because we want everyone to succeed. You can call her if you want to be considered at 903-881-7008, 903-881-7008. And this time, we're adding an element to it. We're adding what illnesses can we reverse and also slow down the aging process. We're adding another component. So this will be interesting in our observation of it, because this time, as long as you didn't have a terminal illness, we didn't pay attention to what you came with. But at the end, we found out people reverse diabetes they've had for 40 years, reverse serious clinical depression, reverse high blood pressure they've had for years, reverse all these different conditions, chronic arthritis. We didn't measure it this time. Post, we are. But now in the new one, we're going to do measurements before we actually start the study and see if we can't reverse the diseases as well as reverse the aging process at the cellular level. Call Luann if you're interested, 903-881-7008. Have a nice day, everyone.